when the cougar cute is.
No, it's not time for the cougar cuties. It's time for everyone's favorite entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where middle-aged guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. From the class of 1994, I'm your host with the jokes, Dauber. And from the class of 1998, he's the analyst with the attention to detail, Sammy D. Sammy D, welcome in to another
Dauber.
Welcome in.
So excited to be with you today to celebrate the number one victory in the A-10 for the number one podcast in the A-10, the Two Ramblers podcast.
Yeah, so I was telling the Bonnie fans as they were starting to realize they were going to lose to us in the last couple minutes. And they were kind of jawing, they were chirping, and I kind of said, hey, it had to happen to somebody, might as well be you guys, and it's not going to be the last one. Like, I think a lot of these A-10 fan bases think that we're never going to win a game. Like, yeah, we're going to be a cellar dweller, and I don't think that's going to happen. And I also think the Bonnies were the first to actually struggle in Gentile.
And, yes, without a doubt.
And so I think they were the first to actually go, oh, we actually have a home court advantage. And I've heard that some of these other A-10 venues do not have the same home court advantage.
Yes.
They're a little quiet. Their student fans aren't very into it. So I think they were the first to really experience both some bad shooting and a very loud crowd. They've probably shot the worst against us of all the A-10 teams so far, right? Without a doubt.
Definitely. 31%, 18 from three. Yeah, they were definitely the worst shooting team that we've seen in the A-10.
Yeah, so I definitely think that it was cool to see those two things kind of come together. A team struggling to shoot a little bit, and then our fans all in place, including the Wolf Pack, kind of all working on the same cylinders. And I felt like that we had a little of that for St. Louis too. It was hostile in the first half. And then it kind of got away from us, but it was the good shooting that got them, you know, got them to go on that little run, and we weren't able to weather it and get back in the game and at St. Louis. So we'll talk about both of these games in a second, but I want to talk about the big story of the week prior to the St. Louis game just for a minute, and then we'll get into the bits and the fun. But let's talk a little bit about the St. Thomas saga. We weren't sure what was going on when he didn't show up in Philadelphia, but then by the time we pushed our podcast live last week, things started trickling out. So what did you hear? And I'll tell you what I heard.
Well, it began to trickle out via Twitter and just a couple of different sources that, you know, one, he didn't go to the game at St. Joe's on Saturday, leading into that. And then it was like, you know, there was conjecture as what was going on. And then on Wednesday morning, I believe it was, or was it Tuesday? Then the announcement that, you know, he was going to take a leave of absence from school, as well as from the team. And so, it became official that, you know, he had withdrawn from school and for mental health reasons. And so the thing that, you know, we kind of posted a couple tweets about, you know, utilizing some scripture from Jeremiah and then from Romans as well. And I just think it was something of like, there's a lot more going on that's not basketball related. And so, you know, honestly, as a coach of athletes, you want the best for the athlete, the student athlete. And so sometimes that may mean you just step away from athletics altogether. And it sounds like that's what it was.
Well, and it did, come out, and this is what I've since heard at the St. Louis game. I talked to a couple of people who sit close to the bench, and then this was reported on one of the forums, Rambler Mania, I think, that in the VCU game earlier last week, there was a point where it looked like Coach Drew wanted to put Saint in, and Saint either refused to go in or was upset about something. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, and I think that kind of got Drew going. And so there was a little bit of yelling back and forth. Huddy was stuck in the middle between them. And there was some, you know, choice words used, some F bombs. And then even I think Coach Amaro got involved. So it sounded like there was some discontent on the bench back to that VCU game. Right. And I don't know if that was the kind of the breaking point or if that was just kind of a byproduct of whatever's been going on, but something boiled over in that game. And then, you know, the next game he wasn't on the plane with them or on the bench. And then, right. And then he wasn't on the website. someone refreshed the roster and he wasn't on the website. And then I think that's when, one of our podcast buddies, I think, reached out to the school. It might've been podcast 63. And, I think they either posted a tweet or they got a confirmation that he had withdrawn from school. So that's all the details we know. There was a visible altercation on the VCU in the VCU game. He was missing from the team trip to Philadelphia. Then he was missing on the website, and then it was announced he withdrew because of mental health reasons. So that's all we know. And that's kind of all that has since come out. So, and I haven't seen him tweet anything. I haven't seen the team tweet anymore or say any more about it. So that's all we know.
Yeah. And then I want to speak to, there were definitely some Twitter ramblings about, you know, the unprofessionalism of Coach Drew and that kind of stuff. And I was kind of like, I think that's a little too much. Because it's like in the heat of a game where there's a lot of emotions and stuff, okay, throwing some F-bombs and that kind of stuff. It's like, come on, what are we dealing with, kindergartners here? It's like, this is big time college basketball. And if, you know, this is basically the pros, you know, the guys that play here are going to eventually play in the professional leagues, whether it be NBA or across or over the seas. And so it's like, there is obviously some struggle that, you know, Saint has seen and been a part of this year. And it sounds like, you know, he needed to take a break. And so, fine.
And obviously it wasn't part of the plan. Drew talked a lot about him over the summer, was super hyped about Saint. If you look at the poster that they gave away, Saint is the main guy in the middle with all the passion and energy. So they wanted Saint to do well this year. They were hoping to set him up for success. And whatever happened, whether there was some challenges with his game, whether it was some emotional things, whether something else went wrong, you know, something happened that wasn't planned. This wasn't what we thought we were going to get. I'm sure everyone is not happy with the situation. I'm sure Saint's not happy. I'm sure the team's not happy. This isn't the fans are not happy. This is not what we thought we'd get in his second season. I remember that dunk last year between him and T.Y. Johnson. And, you know, I think we all thought, okay, this is it. You know, here the freshmen are showing up in this game and it just looked like this is going to be great for the next 4 years. So no one had this in the script. So I think that's worth saying. So I think that's enough on that.
Yeah, but I think it also speaks to the fact that...
And as I say, that's enough on that. You just keep talking. So
I just want to...
put final word, Sam.
Final word. It's just like, hey, sometimes some guys need to get off the bus. And that's okay. And that's not an indictment on him, and it's nor an indictment on, you know, on Coach Drew. It's like sometimes you just recognize, hey, I got to get off the bus. This is just not going the way I want to go. And so you're like, all right,
Now, so, it might be too soon to say this, but if St. Thomas was looking for another program after this withdrawal, one program to look at is the new D1 St. Thomas team in Minnesota. I thought that'd be a perfect spot for him. And now for the Tommies, it's St. Thomas. Do you know they're actually called the Tommies?
Yes.
Isn't that great? The St. Thomas is. Tommies. I love it. Almost as bad as the St. Bonaventure Bonnies.
Yes.
And it felt like when they were chanting the Bonnies, they were chanting the word ballers. Could that be possible? Did I just hear it wrong? It didn't sound like "Let's go Bonnies." It sounded like "Let's go Ballers." So yeah, I don't know.
You heard that wrong. That might be a.
I don't know. That's what I thought I heard. Well, hey, let's get hyped up. Let's get into it a little bit. You know, we got kind of excited about this big win, and one of the big keys to victory was the return of the pack this week. Yes. And so we have reached out, and we have our own PAC correspondent, and let's go to him now. I'm going to have to get his mobile phone on here. Let me get his music going here. Man, I got this way. My head back to my bed. All right, let's go to Rambler Jimmy, Wolfpack Jimmy.
Wolfpack Jimmy. Man, I get, I swear when I surf, now I be surfing swag. I'm on him. Hey guys, are you there? This is Wolfpack Jimmy calling in from Fordham Hollow.
Hey, Wolfpack Jimmy, so good to have you.
Oh man, I'm a. You guys are legend. Two Ramblers, I love it. It's so legit to be on this podcast. So excited. Where are you? Where can I? Where can I see this podcast? Are you guys on YouTube?
No, we are not on YouTube.
Oh,
we are wherever you find your podcast.
For real? Not on YouTube? Are you on TikTok?
No, we are not tickers.
Insta?
On the talk. So.
Not on Insta?
No, we're not. Not an IG. No.
Where can I get this? Where?
You can get it on Spotify.
Spotify. I have that. Good. Okay. I'll check that out. Well, I heard you guys were complaining that the Wolfpack wasn't here from December till the middle of January. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I'm not complaining. Just it was a recognition of that, hey, it's a little quiet when the Wolfpack is not in their rightful place in the Gentile Arena.
Now, I heard you haven't been in the Gentile Arena since 1998. Is that true? My mom was a senior in high school that year.
I want to say more like 2000, but yes, it's been a long time. But Jimmy, I'm excited that I may be making a return to the Gentile Arena this year. So
really, really,
yes, we're working on something.
That's great, great, awesome.
So Jimmy, I thought your voice sounded a little familiar. Did I see you? There was a time when I was there for the UIC, I got invited to a kegger at Mertz. Were you at that one?
No, I wasn't there. My squad wasn't at that party.
Your squad? Oh, who's in the squad? Who's
My squad is just a few friends, and we go to the games together. Peter Wallace, maybe you know him.
Yeah, he's a fan of the pod.
Sign girl, of course.
Yes, Cece, love her. Love the signs. Good one for St. Louis.
Popak guy.
Yeah, Pope guy.
Popak guy. And then my roommate Manish and Sister Jean.
Oh, that's a pretty good squad right there. That's like a who's who of the Wolfpack.
Now, I got to be honest. Sister Jean, she keeps it kind of straight edge. But she is she's really good with the aux cord. You know, she loves just plugging in her tunes. And, you know, it's always fun when Sister Jean rolls up to a party. Literally, she rolls up. Anyway. Holler at your boy. We got a big win at the Wolfpack.
Yeah, Jimmy, what was your favorite part of the game? What was your favorite chant?
Well, my favorite part of the game, of course, is the JB's Pizza giveaway, you know?
Yes.
So
did you get one?
I did not get a pizza, but you know, holler at your boy. I got a slice. You know, someone next to me was putting it on. So, you know, I did get a piece of the pizza. So that was good.
Well, you know, you gotta, next time you see Dobber, you gotta ask him how he got his pizza, from a few games ago.
Yeah, I did see Dobber on the Jumbotron. Shout out to Dobber, who made the Jumbotron for the first time this year.
What?
Yeah.
Bury the lead.
Yeah. You know, it's
about that one.
You know, it was during the cheesy dance cam, and you know, my boy has moves. I don't know if you've seen him in the arena, but he was working it. He was working it for real.
You know, yes.
You might think that it might be mad awkward for a 50-year-old dancing basically with, you know, these young bucks out here. But, you know, he brings it. He brings it. Yep. So,
yes, without a doubt.
You know, I know haters want to hate my man Dobber, but he gets to it.
So favorite, other than JB's, what was the favorite part actually on the court? What was your favorite part of the game?
Yo, man, you can't look no farther than Big Huddy.
Oh,
Big Huddy back.
Isn't that a beautiful thing, seeing him come off the bench and then just wreak havoc?
Yeah, Big Huddy back. Now, I see him sometime in line, and last time he was in line, he ate all the vanilla pudding. But, you know, because my boy eats.
Yes.
My boy's a big boy. I don't know if you've seen him. You know, but it's all good. He can eat what he wants as long as he's, you know.
Knocking down threes,
getting those sweet blocks, little thunder dunk. I love it. I love it, man. Squab was loving it.
Yeah, I'm sure Manish was up and going all.
Oh, oh yeah. Man. Don't even get Manish started. Manish going to get on. I think he's going to get technical for the team one of these days. When Manish gets going, you don't want to get in his way, you know?
Yes.
He sees red. You know, when Braden got fouled and ended up on the ground, you know, Manish wanted to run on the court. And I said, come on, Manish.
Yes, yeah.
Hold back.
Hold back. Let Dobber yell at the refs.
Yeah, let Dobber get ejected.
So, Jimmy, where are you from? I mean, are you, you know.
Yo, man, I'm straight out of Naptown.
Indianapolis? Nice.
Naperville.
Oh.
Shout out to Tom Welch. Shout out to Tom Welch.
Do you know Tom? I mean,
do I know Tom Welch? Do I know Tom Welch? Stop playing. No, I don't actually know him.
Well, I mean, it is a big town. So, I mean, Porter Mosier's from there, you know, Tom Welch.
Yeah. Shout out to Porter.
So, thoughts moving forward, you know, do you see the Ramblers rambling off a few victories?
Yeah, I think we're going to roll off a few victories, you know, for real, no cap. I think we're going to get a couple more of these. I think these A-10 teams don't know what hit them, especially when the pack is back. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? You let the whole team down. You let the whole team down.
Yeah, you guys were
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I had the air ball chant going, number one. Number one, man.
I kept hearing so many air ball chants. It was but then I looked back and I was like, yeah, he never made a basket.
Yeah, we were going after him the whole game. You know, he let the whole team down, too.
Yes, he did.
Oh yeah. So no, I think it's going to be good. These A-10 teams, I don't think they know what's going to hit them. You know, I think they should keep our name out their mouth, if you know what I'm saying. I think there's a lot of them speaking about Loyola. They think that, you know, we're going to be the doormat, and they're going to come to Rogers Park, and it's not going to go good. It's not going to go good, you know. So
yeah, you're going to be raising hell like Raising Cane's. All right, I feel you.
Yeah, Raising Cane's. That's where we hit. Me and the squad rolled the Raising Cane's after the victory. You know, I like to get a combo. I like to get a combo when we win, and I've been hungry for a combo for a while. So yeah, I got that four piece combo. Nice. Get the cane sauce. You know how it goes.
I knew. Yes, I do.
You know, the Coke Zero. That's how I roll.
Okay. All right. Well, Jimmy, thanks so much for coming. I appreciate it. Any last words as you head out the door?
No, shout out to Dauber, though, man. That boy gets it over there. I can see him. I can see him from where we sit. I see him up there.
Repping the 202.
Yeah, I see him up there jumping. I mean, it's not hard not to miss him, man. He's a large dude. But, you know, I get it.
Yeah, you got to feed the big man.
Yeah, yes. Feed the big man. That's what I say. All right, man. Let me get out of here, and I'll holler at you later.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Wait, this isn't Jimmy's music.
Run it back, producer. 2, 4, 72.
Oh, no, I'm back.
2 of 16 from the field. That you definitely was under the thumb of the Wolfpack's airball champs.
Do we have any? Do we have any blurred lines from the Bonaventure game? Jameel Wilson off the bench, 4 for 6.
My man, Huddy. Off the bench, 4 for 4.
Four for one
from three. I mean, he 10 points. I mean, it's like a perfect game. A 10 perfect game.
And Welch came off the bench, too. Welch came off the bench, too. 3 for 4.
Yeah.
So good, good bench play.
Oh, my gosh. The bench outscored. What was it? Oh, shoot. I had it here. Oh, here it is. 47-14. I've never seen that. I literally have never seen a bench outscore even the starters. That was a phenomenal output by them. Well, that was good. Jimmy, you know, giving you the shout outs. He said you were on the Jumbotron. I figured that would have been leading off the podcast, but so good.
I finally got on this year. Now I'm not going to, you know a little more about cause and effect. I mean, I'm going to just say that it was a coincidence that I was on the Jumbotron and we won the A10, first A10 game. But I think
Alex Soporopoulos needs to figure out how we can do this more.
I would say that, that me being on the Jumbotron was more of a byproduct of the energy in the stadium. There was a lot of energy in the stadium all throughout the stadium.
No, it definitely came through on TV.
And so, I mean, the Wolfpack was not full. I don't know if it was because it was a Saturday game. Kids went home for the weekend, like when we were in school. You know, remember it was a ghost town on Saturday?
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a little lighter, but they were loud.
Yeah.
And, you know, as your buddy said, my boy was loud. Shout out to Joe.
Joe Frizzo.
My boy was loud. That's what that's how he says it. So
deep fried pierogi.
Yeah. So the Wolfpack was loud. And then, you know, there was a lot of fans throughout, including a very well-traveled Bonaventure team.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I walked in with my family. They all asked, what is this college and where are they from? No one. And meanwhile, there's pockets of like every Bonaventure fan in the Midwest, I think, came to this game.
Yeah, I mean, middle of nowhere, New York. So, shout out to the Bonnies, traveling well.
Let me test you. You're the analyst with the attention to detail. Tell me who the most famous Bonnie of all time is. He's in the NBA Hall of Fame.
I'm gonna say he's like a center.
He's 6'11". He was 6'11".
So yeah, he was a center. Oh shoot!
Passed away last year.
They said it in the broadcast. Oh,
I'll give it to you, Bob Lanier. Bob Lanier played for the Bucks.
The Bonnies.
No, he played for the Bucks too.
He played for the
in the NBA.
Bucks. Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I learned that from the candlelight last night. We went to the game after the candlelight. I'm sorry. After the game, we went to the candlelight. And the guy who was working the as the host said, bet you can't name the best player to come out of Bonaventure, and he was right. so anyway. Well, let's roll back the clock. Actually, I have a roll back the clock sound here. Yeah, here we go. All right, let's roll back the clock before we get in this Bonnie game and just talk a couple minutes about St. Louis. What did you see? What'd you think?
That game, one, that was very atypical for the Rambler games of this year, where they a good first half, but then the wheels start to come off towards the halftime, the last 4 minutes, and then just they all came off. And I even was trying to watch the game a little differently. I talked about it in our last podcast about the 10 rounds, the 10 4-minute periods. And the Ramblers did really well off the bat. I mean, they won the first four, I felt like. And then...
Now, you really confused me with this. Like, last year, you made a big deal about a four-quarter game. You broke up...
Right.
You broke up the first half into two quarters, and you broke up the second half into two quarters. Kind of like they do in NBA.
I changed it up because there are four-minute... I'll call them rounds. And where, so there's timeouts at the under 16, under 12, under 8, under 4. At the end of the halves, or especially end of the game, the Ramblers will throw up the fours when it's under 4 minutes, kind of like finishing the game. And so it really kind of broke down. It was like, oh, hey, there are 10 rounds, if you will. And it really kind of showed, at least in the St. Louis game, the Ramblers put together four really good rounds to start the game. And they were leading and they were effective and efficient. And then all of a sudden it just began to stumble. And then it's a way, I found it an interesting way to watch the game, although infuriating as St. Louis then put together one, two, three, four rounds in a row that just, blew the game out of reach. And so, but again, I was encouraged to see they cut down on their turnovers. They only had 9 turnovers. But for shooting wise, they were 8 of 18 from 3, which is not bad. Their 2-pointers were 39%. But the thing that jumped out to me was they were 13 to 20 from the free throw line. And I felt like there was a number of one-on-ones that they missed, and so it could have been even better than that. And so, they shot more free throws. Yeah, they made more free throws than the St. Louis shot. So it's like, hey, this is that thing that we've always kind of talked about. But there are a number of things that, like, hey, this makes sense. But just, like, kind of infuriating of just, like, they just didn't shoot well, and they allowed defensively the – St. Louis to get out and make their buckets. And they had a very just well-balanced game. It never felt like they had one guy hit 18, but they were all effective. 3 for 5, 5 for 7, 4 for 7, 7 of 9. And all those guys, they just did whatever they wanted to do offensively. So,
yeah, and it was kind of fun to see Yuri Collins play. His stats are not crazy or anything. What did he have? How many assists? I guess he did have 9.
6 assists. But then...
Wait, 6 assists, yeah.
Yeah, but then the Gibson Jibberson, and he had 7.
Yuri Collins was pretty interesting to watch just because of his command of that point guard position. We were talking about, Braden being a combo guard. And it was cool to see a point guard really operating at a high level. Plus, he got off some shots, too. Interestingly enough, though, I noticed this, and I think I've seen this in some games, pro games, where there were times he ran a play, got the ball in, and then would just kind of stand on the wing. Mm-hmm. Wasn't particularly moving without the ball. And looked like he was maybe even getting a little rest. And I saw Braden do that a couple times in this game where he looked like he was kind of almost resting in the corner. I don't know, maybe that's a strategy for these guys who play 35 minutes where it's like, you're not going to be involved in every play. You probably have a pretty good guard covering you. So if mm-hmm. you're drifting out in the corner, you're going to take a guy out, you know, kind of clear out a little bit. And maybe you get a break for just 10 seconds before you have to go back on defense or bring the ball up.
Right.
So I did notice that. It was kind of, it's obvious because he was so quick and so agile with the ball. It was interesting just seeing him stand around at different points. So, because I was kind of watching him off ball just to see what was going on with him. So anyway.
Yeah, and then the other thing that jumped out to me is in comparison to the St. Bonaventure game, is no production from the bench to speak of. I mean, Welch had 5 points and Jamil had 1-3, but like, you know, it just was nothing, you know. Bryce started, but yeah, just now granted we were coming off of one, the St. Thomas news, Jaden Dawson was injured in the game at St. Joe's, and so he didn't play.
Marquise couldn't start. Something happened in warm-up.
Coming for three. Yeah. So, obviously, okay, they're reeling from that, but it just once the St. Louis took over the lead in the first half, it was like I felt like that might as well just didn't come out for the second half because it came out flat, and it snowballed from there.
I mean, do you think that that game now with Saint off the Saint not there anymore, do you think that St. Louis game is what set up the Huddy game against St. Bonaventure, or was it just that there was such a huge dude on Bonaventure that it made sense to bring in Huddy?
Yeah, I think it was matchup with St. Bonaventure's big man.
What's his name?
Big man.
Is it Barry Evans? No. Who was it?
Chad Vinning.
Chad.
And I want to say it's Barry Evans. They had two guys who were like.
There was one guy who just looked huge. I don't know how tall he was.
Chad Vinning. Was 32. He was their big guy, and Huddy, you know, definitely played him well. And they had a couple guys that were big dudes, and so I think that was more a testament to matchups. And I think against St. Louis, Huddy, to his credit, I think could have been good, but that was a small team. That was a team that was 6'8" and under. And so there wasn't much need for the 6'11", Huddy. So,
right. Well, I'll make one other comment about the St. Louis game. I don't have too much that I saw. I mean, it was just painful to watch the second half. It started off good. There was some good excitement. I got really jacked up in my seat and actually got into it with another season ticket holder. He didn't like the way I was cheering. I think I was too loud and I was banging on the seats. Did
you go by yourself?
I did go by myself. This Tuesday night at 6 or whatever it is, Wednesday night at 6.
Yeah, Wednesday night at 6. Yeah, that's a tough
one. That's a tough, man. It was really empty. And some people showed up late, but it was kind of empty. Yeah. I mean, the whole row behind me was empty, but I did kind of think about something during that game that I think I want to talk to. Who is it? Brian Day? Who's the guy? Yeah, Brian Day. I want to talk to him about this next year, and this might be something to talk about as a Two Ramblers podcast, maybe even getting the other podcasts involved. But we have a lack of spirit in some of these sections. Mm-hmm. And it's fine if we have some older fans and older kind of, historic alumni, that kind of thing. But I really feel like we need a Rowdy Rambler section. Because I feel like I can't totally be myself, even in my section where I have a season ticket now.
Right.
Because we got out to a little bit of a run in that St. Louis game, and I wanted to bang on the chair. I was screaming for Phil Alston, and that wasn't, my seat guy, the guy next to me.
It was frowned upon.
It was
in your section.
It was frowned upon. And so I look around and I see the pack going crazy, but I don't fit in the pack because I'm 52, 50.
Right.
Or am I 52 or 51? 1970 to 200.
Yeah, it'd be 50.
No, I'm 52 now.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't fit in the pack. So then I'm just like looking around and I'm like, well, there's this corner section under the hoop where like Andrew Ragas and Kevin Sheehan sit. And I look there and I go, well, they look kind of into it, but they still, it looks a little reserved.
To Kevin. Yeah. I like the yellow sweatshirt he was wearing on the St. Louis.
Looks a little reserved. And then I'm just looking around going, where do I fit?
Right.
And the other thing I don't want to do, you'd say, well, Matt, maybe you move a little farther back into some of these bleacher seats or something, right? The corner or something. Well, then I'm surrounded by visiting fans.
Right.
So it's like I need to be surrounded by Loyola fans who are excited about.
Right.
So I need to know,
almost,
is there a.
Like a second wolf pack area.
Yeah, I was thinking Rambler Rowdies, Rambler. Yeah. You know, the old pack, whatever you want to call us, alumni pack.
Yeah, I like Rambler Rowdies. I like that.
And maybe it's young alumni or something, but if we could get a young alumni session and just somehow get Dauber in there, that'd be great. Because I really feel like I don't quite, I don't want to get into fights with Rambler fans. I don't want to upset the guys sitting around me, but I want to be able to get crazy.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. I think that should be, there should be a section.
I mean, you know how it was like when we were at that UIC game, right? And we jumped up and we had these kind of UIC people in front of us. Yeah. It was a little uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, the president of the university.
Right. Well, that's one thing if you're on the road and you're in kind of
we'll be experiencing when the Ramblers come to Richmond.
Right. It's one thing if you're on the road and you experience that, but it's another thing when you feel the same reticence from people that are supposedly on the same team as you.
And right? Wearing the same scarf.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I worked it out with my seat guy and it's all cool. We were fine. We sat together in the next game. But I do feel like I'm now on a man looking for another seat. Like I kind of went on this journey last year looking for a seat. Now I got to look again.
Yeah.
And I don't think the answer is moving forward into the hundreds because it seems even more reserved there than where I am. So I don't know if anyone has any.
I think you're right. I think we need to reach out to Brian Day and we need to find the Rambler Rowdy section
or form one. I talked to Blake and Big Joe Rambler about this. I go, maybe we should just, as a group of active Twitterers, just go, let's all get in this section next year.
Right. Yeah. I think that seems the best plan.
Yeah. And maybe I got to move across to like, you know, where Susan, Hannah and the two Hannahs sit. I don't know. Maybe that would be better. Feel free to let me know if you sit in a lively section because you'd like to see the Dauber on the Jumbotron and banging seats and yelling. That's how I roll. That's how I roll.
Reach us at two Ramblers Pod on Twitter.
On Twitter. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into this Bonaventure game.
Let's do it.
Let's just start real quick. Let's give out an award. We haven't given out an award in a while because we haven't won any games. So let's go with a Matt Hammerhaus player of the game for Heart and Hustle. Who do you got, Sammy D?
I don't know how you could not give it to Tom Welch.
Wait.
No, I'm stopping myself.
Tom Welch.
He came off the bench. By rule, he is eligible. But I'm stopping myself. I'm filtering and realize it was so awesome to see Jacob Hudson get in the game, have great moments. He played 13 minutes and he scored 10 points. I don't know who else played as efficiently as that this season, where that was just like, oh my gosh, that's the Huddy that we love. You know, 13 minutes, like you just power pack 13 minutes, 10 points, 4 for 4. He hit a three. He got a free throw, a few rebounds, a block. It was just like awesome, awesome to see Huddy come out of, get off the milk box, the milk carton, and just play, you know, hair on fire and just awesome game. So obviously the vanilla pudding is working.
Wait a second. Jacob Hudson, I got him on the official score sheet as being in the game for 6 minutes. Is that possible?
That might be the wrong game.
St. Bonaventure at Loyola.
I'm looking at the... I'm looking at the team website, 13 minutes.
Okay, well, the score sheet has him in at six, but I'll go with you on that one. And what do you got for his final line?
I got 4 for 4 from the field, 1 for 1 from three, 1 for 1 from the free throw line, 2 offensive rebounds.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? Ah, dang it. I printed off this sheet. It gave me just the first half. Sorry. Okay, my bad. That's why you're the analyst with the attention to detail. Yeah. How could you overlook his coming in the game? I know Tom Welch came off the bench too, but there when he came into the game, there was huge cheer.
It reverberated on the TV. It was just like, oh my God. Like you saw it. Like you saw him stand up, and then you heard the Wolfpack just go absolutely like bonkers.
Wasn't just the Wolfpack; the entire stadium went big for him. And then when he got that block, huge cheer. When he got the dunk, huge cheer. When he hit the three, huge cheer. Everyone wanted him to do well. And
yeah, I think that was the epitome of like it's so exciting to see that happen. In that moment, because he subbed in the 9:20 mark and then scored at 9:02. And it was just like, you know, got the lay in and then it was a 3-point play. That's a candidate for, you know, JB Alberto's giant play of the game. So it was just like, and that was right when they were building to, you know, close the gap and take the lead. And so, that was a stretch that was just like, unbelievable.
There were a couple of, now, as I said, I was kind of hemmed in here. I actually had some Bonnie fans behind me in this game. I had some people on each side of me. Normally I have a little more room to work with, but
right.
It was, you know, some of the seats were filled in around me. And so I do have a move that I do in a crowded crowd. I kind of stand straight up. Sometimes put the arms straight up when something big happens and just yell, staying within my space so I don't hit people. And I will say that at least 3 times in the game, I jumped up completely out of my seat after a play. One of them was the Jacob Hudson 3-point play. Yeah. I think just to see him make a move to the hoop, get fouled, and the ball to go in, I was like, yes.
And then his excitement too. I think that was so like, I was like, yes, good for you, Jake. It was just like, it was a moment where like, I've been a good teammate. I've been a great teammate. I almost want to teach him how to wave the towel. Like, I feel like he needs, that was something that I was thinking about this last week. It's like, what are we missing from last year? Is, you know, as Tom Welch has kind of, you know, assumed, you know, the starters' minutes, he's not on the bench as much as he was last year, where he was waving the towel because he only played maybe 10 minutes last year. You know, he was the emotional leader on the bench. And I feel like, you know, that needs to be Huddy, where he's, you know, he's the big guy, you know, waving the towel, you know, getting everybody hyped up. And it's like, that may not be his personality. But anyway, it was so encouraging to just like, this is the epitome of measuring the game. Of like, I'm not measuring the gap of where I haven't played as much, but now I am going to measure the game where I'm in the game. I made a good move. It went in the bucket. I got the foul, and then I got the free throw to follow, and you could see it as emotional as he pumped his fist. It's just like, yeah! So it was awesome to see.
Yeah, no, and it was. And boy, talk about a, you know, kind of reversal of fortune. It was just a game ago. It might have even been the St. Louis game where I saw a timeout late in the game. Hudson hasn't gotten into the whole game. And he was standing behind Caleb Reese and Will Smythe in the kind of circle up. And I just was thinking, talk about looking on the outside, looking in. This guy used to be a starter. Now he's standing behind two walk-ons. I think Caleb's a walk-on, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Preferred walk-ons or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, and, you know, they're most likely not getting in the game. And he's standing behind them. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then to see him come in and then just, you know, excel and really contribute. Man, it was just so great. And even more highlighted by the fact that the starters were just okay the other day, right? What'd you see the Bonnie?
They were on the milk carton.
Yeah, Braden. Did Braden even score?
He did. He had 4 points, but he was 0 of 6 from the field and from, 0 of 6 from 3-point land. So he's 4 of 5 from the free throw line. And they said on the broadcast, like, oh, hey, he saw one go in as a free throw. They should start to fall. And they never did.
Yeah. I mean, there was a point in the game where I hadn't seen him score yet. And it made me nervous that he hadn't scored at all. And then Phil got that cut earlier in the game and he just looked a little off.
Right.
What was his final line? Wait, you just dropped out.
He was 2 of check one, check two.
Yeah. Your audio is not great today, but that's okay. We'll figure it out for next time. Oh, now you're off. I don't hear anything.
Oh, does that sound better?
Yeah, I think you might need to get some new cables.
I think you might be right.
I think your cables are getting wonky. Okay, go ahead.
So Phil was 2 of 4, 1 from 3. It's 6 rebounds and 1 assist and then 1 block. So and 1 steal. So it's an okay game, but for the Manimal, like we've been expecting so much more. So, Schweiger had a decent game, but he only played 18 minutes. But he was 3 of 4, 2 of 3 from three. Had great 2 3 pointers, or his 2 3 pointers in the second half were kind of like sealing the deal. It was awesome to see that. And then Braden was, 0 of 6, but, Jalen Quinn, who's been starting the last couple of games, he was 1 of 4. He's playing really good defense, 5 rebounds. And then Bryce, he started, but he played 4 minutes. So it's like, I don't know what exactly was the thought there. Because I thought he played it seemed like he played better against the big man, but then all of a sudden, Huddy comes in, or Welch comes in, and he got the lion's share of the minutes at the 5. And so, it was just odd.
Golden had there was a point blank shot that he missed, and it was just a really bad one. And I want to say Welch had a bad miss too. There were a couple. What did we end up winning by in this Bonaventure game?
It was by 12.
We could have won by more. There were a couple of point blank shots that just didn't fall. I think you mentioned Jay Quinn. Jay Quinn, I think, had one. I think he got all the way up to the rim, laid it up there, and then it rolled out. And Golden had one that was just a horrible miss. There was also one, too, if I can remember this correctly, there was a 4-point swing where someone outlet passed to, it might have been Sheldon or Jamil Wilson. Mm-hmm. And he's got one man to beat. He goes up, gets blocked, I think. And then there's an immediate foul in the rebound. And the man, the guy who fouls him goes back to the line. It's like, we should have scored 2 there.
Right.
Or gone on the foul line. And instead, they scored 2. It was like a 4-point swing. Yeah. And that's when we were trying to bleed clock out. Like, I was like, man, if we just would have kicked the ball out and wasted 20 seconds, it would have been better than what happened.
Right.
So, boy, I talk about learning, like almost forgetting to learn how to close. I was a little nervous at the end of that game that we were going to just give it to him somehow. I watched the Lakers and the Grizzlies the other night, and the Grizzlies kind of had a commanding lead. They had like 6 up in the last minute, and then they figured out a way to give it to the Lakers to win.
Right.
And by, turning over the ball at one point when they should have been running the clock out. So I kind of was worried about that. Luckily, it didn't happen. And I think Schweiger's two threes really gave the stadium a little bit of relief because there was a ton of tension in the room.
Yeah, because yeah, exactly. Because the one, his first three at the 5:20 mark, they were only up four. It was kind of like, you know, back and forth, back and forth. And then he hits that three, and then they come down and hit a free throw, and then he hits another three, followed, you know, the next time down the court, and then that's where all of a sudden they're up by nine, and it was like, okay. And then it felt like they could breathe after that because it never went below, and it went to six, but it never felt like. At that point, it's like, we're out of time. There's not enough time for you guys to come back because you're not built for, you know, scoring a bunch of points like GW or St. Louis. So,
and this was a really weird point in the game when some Ramblers in section 203 started chanting 1 and 6.
Right.
But I looked over and I just saw Bonnie fans and I couldn't figure out why they were chanting 1 and 6. But I guess during the game, the Bonnie fans were cheering 0 and 6 at different points to kind of goad or troll us.
Right.
And so about that point where Schweiger had the two threes and we went up by nine with maybe a minute or two left, the Rambler fans started yelling 1 and 6, which made sense. Because I thought, I turned to the guy sitting next to me and I go, do they realize that they're the one and the 1 and 6 that they're saying? Because this is kind of weird. But it turned out it was some Rambler fans who had just been sick of
the 0-6. Yeah,
203 is such a tough section because so many of the upper seats fill in with the visiting fans.
Hmm.
And these Bonaventure guys travel well. They traveled really well. St. Louis traveled well, but this Bonnie team, for being a small school, man, they traveled well. So. And we lost your audio. Now I just see you talking and bumping the mic and nothing. Wow. Well,
how about now?
Yeah.
Check what? One, check two.
Yeah, maybe you got to get a Macintosh computer. I heard they're pretty good. maybe get rid of the Dell Power Glide from 2010 that you're using.
Need to get rid of the Dell Power Glide.
Or I don't know, the Dell Power Edge 2000.
It's not, I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, you know,
am I back?
You're breaking up a little bit. I think we got to pack it in. I think this is the Dark Lord
Yeah, I think we got a little too chummy with the Dark Lord.
Yeah, we got a little chummy with the Dark Lord. He's giving us problems now, so. All right, well, who we got coming up? LaSalle?
We got Duquesne on the 25th. That's at Duquesne, so at Pittsburgh. So it's a 6 o'clock central start. And then the 31st at Dayton. Big game here in the Dobschutz household.
So, now I that's the battle of the couch, right? Now, does the loser sleep on the couch or does the winner? I don't know. It depends whether you lose or win, right?
Be the loser because I don't. Although Dayton's kind of been.
I think here's my prediction: if Dayton goes out and wins convincingly, you can stay in the bed. But if Loyola, sneaks in and wins at the end at the buzzer, or worse for you, just dominates, you know, kind of has like a Clemson game. Then you're definitely on the couch. You're gonna be curling up with Ginger the dog.
No, Ginger's gonna be with Mama.
Okay. I thought we were playing LaSalle next. Is that right? Is that the next home game? Or
that's the next home game. Yeah, both of these games this coming week are on the road. And then February 4th is against George Mason, and February 8th is St. Joe's. Am I looking at this right? Yeah, I'm reading it.
I think you're right. I think George Mason's the next home game.
Hold on, I'm rolling back here. Yeah. Wednesday, January 25th is at Duquesne. And then the following Tuesday, so they don't play next weekend, which is kind of crazy. The 31st, they play at Dayton. That's a Tuesday night game. Julie and I actually thought about going to that game, but beginning on a Tuesday, we're like, yeah, we can't make that work. But then Saturday the 4th is George Mason. And then Wednesday the 8th is St. Joe's. And then Saturday, February 11th is at Richmond. Sammy D in the going to be in the house for that.
Oh, you're finally getting off your duff and going on a game? Great. Welcome yes. Welcome to being a Rambler fan.
I was at the UIC game earlier this year. So.
Yes, I took you to it.
Yes.
I was.
I tried to pull a dobber and try to see if I could get courtside seats, but there's very limited seats left for that. I was kind of surprised. Yeah, and then UMass and then Dayton on the 17th is a Friday night game. So, yeah.
Yes, okay. All right. Well, let's hope that maybe we found a little magic and got a little swag in the A10.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, Huddy got the hammer player of the game, but then also I think he did the double dip. I think he also got the JB giant play of the game. We didn't give that out, but his block, which then leading to Jamerrill's three at the other end to, you know, to take the lead in the first half, which then cemented the, you know, basically they never looked back. But it was like that in that moment, it was like, again, Huddy had a great moment where he had just a emphatic block and then led out to the breakout to the three. So that was my JB giant play of the game.
Well, and I hate to say it, but I wonder if just by some of the attrition on the team, you know, guys are going to get some more minutes. And it's going to make the decision-making process a lot easier in some ways, right? Mm-hmm. The Saint minutes, even though he wasn't getting a ton of minutes, are now given to someone else. Jaden Dawson is not taking any more minutes from Jalen Quinn. Right. So Jalen Quinn's getting all of the Jaden Dawson minutes essentially.
Yeah.
If Marquise, you know, struggles with minutes again, you know, you can make a case that Jamil's going to get more minutes, or Jamil was actually coming in for Phil Alston. So
yeah.
they had kind of a three guard lineup that kept that came out a few times. I want to say Jamil. I mean, or he was playing for Schweiger there. I feel like there was Jamil and Marquise and Braden all playing at the same time at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so yeah. Anyway, my point is less guys, you know, potentially it gets more clear who needs to play and when. It's not, you know, you don't have the option of trying a different guy here. You just have to roll with them. I mean, I thought Jalen Quinn stayed in a lot longer than I've seen.
He played a lot of minutes.
Than I've seen in other games where, you know, the quick trigger would come. You know, he
played 27 minutes. Yeah, I think he really allowed his defense to play effectively this game. He didn't show up so much offensively, but defensively, I thought he played a really good game, and I was really encouraged by that. And I still say this, or still think this, is that Drew is a defense first kind of coach, and I think, you know, if you can show yourself defensively, you'll play more.
Yeah, I think you're right. I definitely think you're right. So. Well, you've been listening to the Entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where middle-aged guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. For the analysts, with the attention to detail, Sammy D, I'm your host with the jokes. Dobber
on the number one podcast in the A10,
saying so long from Chicago and Virginia, and we'll see you next time at the Gentile Center and on the road watching the Loyola Ramblers.
Go Ramblers!
Go Ramblers!